There are dimensions hidden in Jesus Christ our Lord, found in the very Word of God, which is expressly made known by the Holy Spirit. Join me as we welcome the ministration of God's servant, Pastor Gbenga Shafe, at Diocese 2019, the warfare of the kingdom. Relax, relax, enjoy the ministration.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please take your seat for a few minutes before we begin to pray. Hallelujah. Before I say anything, I want to appreciate Daddy and Mommy for the opportunity. It's not easy to share your pulpit with somebody, especially. But Daddy could have practically done everything together with the ministers here. But I consider myself a part of this house. I don't see myself as an invited guest. I'm a part of this house, and if I lived in Akure, this would be my church. So I'm grateful for the opportunity, and I also appreciate all the ministers who are laboring together with Daddy to make this work fruitful. You will not lose your reward. Whether you came in at 3 o'clock or came in at 11, a minister or even as a member, you will not lose your reward in Jesus' name. I pray for you. What swallows men? What swallows the destinies of men? At the time when God requires them to begin to come out, it will not swallow you. I pray for everyone that is here. Peradventure you have been marked for destruction. Or peradventure there is something in the future waiting for you to abort all the labor and the prayers of several years in this church. That evil day will not come. I pray 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years from now, many of you who have been blessed in this ministry will come back and be a blessing to this house. In Jesus' name. Now, as a pastor, it's not just to preach. We receive command to bless. Because there, you go out there in the office, you get a query, you go out, your lecturer is shouting. So, as pastors, we need to keep blessing you. Keep blessing you. Even when you are not behaving like you need the blessing, we still keep blessing you. Because that's our command. Hallelujah. This blessing will not elude you. In Jesus' name. Today, let me leave that one. In Mark, the book of Mark chapter 3, verse 22, if all I did tonight was to appreciate all our laborers in this house, I would have been fine. But tonight I still have a few minutes to say something to you, and I want to appeal to you by the mercies of God to please give me some of your time. I'm going to put on my stopwatch now, so that I can self-regulate. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 22, I'm just going to give you points. Please try to get all the messages so that you can listen. You thought you heard something, but you didn't hear. You need to hear again. Scripture reading. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he had Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils cast out the devils. And he called them unto him and said to them in parable, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Now that's a proper minister's training scripture, but I will leave that. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but at an end. Now, say no man. Say no man. There's a way you read scripture, you can miss out on very key words. Say no man. Whether you're a bishop, whether you're a prophet, whether you are an engineer, a scientist, Mommy, you are welcome. Whatever category of expertise, Jesus is making an emphatic statement. When you say no man, that means nothing can break this law. Are we together? No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house. Let's take one more verse. And I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall be. Okay, let's just stop there. Now please pick your pen. I want to give you some quick points. I have to choose between wanting to preach to you and probably wanting to help you. So I've decided to help you. So I give you points. Number one, there are a few things I see in this scripture, especially from that verse 27. The first point here, please write and take note. There are conditions to taking territories. You cannot jump in anyhow, you will jump out anyhow. As far as Jesus is concerned, there are conditions to taking territories. There are general conditions, there are specific conditions. Number two, it is God's will that you are used as an instrument in taking territories that have been lost. It is the will of God, whether you are young, whether you are old. I don't know, maybe I'm hearing echoes, or it's just my, maybe it's where I'm standing. It is the will of the Lord that everyone in this place is used significantly to secure territories that have been lost. Can I say to you that many times we have pursued things that are minor, thinking we were trying to secure the move of God, not knowing that we were losing territories. We had people who rose up amongst us in the church and said, God is calling me to go into the world of fashion. Oh, I say, praise God. Praise God, because finally we have somebody who can sew dresses for Christians. But a few years after, they came out with their products. It wasn't different from what was in the world. You see, because the devil has one major spirit that is very effective, that rarely fails. It's called the seducing spirit. They call you, say, young man, you have a very powerful gift. Anytime you sing, we feel you. You are very gifted. But if you want to make it in this industry, you see, the spirits of the land are speaking to you. They say, if you want to make it in this industry, you will have to take that Jesus out of that song. You have a powerful gift, but we want it to be marketable. So the moment the devil tries to market you, he presents a viable option. The devil doesn't come and tell you, go and sing. It gives you a quiet alternative that doesn't look too bad. And there's nothing wrong in singing secular songs if it's not fieldy and all of that. I can just tell you that some of Sunny Ade's songs are even healthier than some of the things we peddle around, like Shagoloda, Buja, and some of these songs. You might likely make it singing Sunny Ade than singing some of these other songs. And I'm not holding brief for any of them. So, it is the will of God, and that is why Paul taught us, and is speaking by the Spirit, said to us, do not let anyone look down on your youth. Don't let anyone tell you that you need to be a particular age to be effective for the Lord. For you to be effective for the Lord, there are certain conditions that must be met. Number one, you must be hungry. God can never make use of anybody that is not hungry. Because when you are hungry for anything except the agenda of God, that thing will be hijacked. The devil will anoint you, put you on the pulpit, and you will be running satanic agenda. There are people on the pulpits today with crowds and very prominent people who are running satanic agenda. Why? Because they were not hungry for the things God was having a heart for. So you can be a prophet and be 16 years, and you could be 60 years and be a spiritual baby as far as God is concerned. But your hunger is reflective of your inner working. Your hunger is reflective of what God is doing in your heart. Because Jesus is the only one that will give you water, and then you will be thirsty again for a deeper experience of that reality. It doesn't give you water, then leave you okay. You want more. You want to win more souls. You want to show people the light. You have a passion for showing people the light. You want to help people. You are compassionate. Everybody in this room, without no exception, can be used in taking territory. Say amen. Question is whether at all you find yourself or you see yourself as someone that God can significantly use. Don't be mesmerized. All of us, at some point, somebody had to beat us. I know right now you get up and pick your bags and pull it on one hand and turn your fingers the other way and you have your makeup all made up like you didn't have to go to the bathroom in the morning, like you are just permanently that way. But at some point in your life, somebody has to take you to the bathroom. Somebody has to tell you what to wear. Are you still with me? Now, so what am I saying to you? I'm saying that we are all people who are helped by God. We are all helped by God. If you see the grace of God in any man, please know that what you are looking at is the help of God. Which means that when you see that, instead of falling down and worshiping that man, you can say, God, if you can use somebody like this, then you can use somebody like me. Apostle Babalola, at a very young age, in the early 1900s, was called for a pastor's meeting. And they wanted to debate on the future of the church. Whether should people with two wives, can they take Holy Communion? Do we believe that if somebody is trusting God for divine healing, can they use drugs? Or they have to live permanently on faith? So those were conversations for their generation. So Ayo Babalola was invited, but because he was very young, they told him to go and sit down in the vestry. Now, if you've ever been in our Anglican churches, there's a place called the vestry. You can be there forever. You can be there just looking for choir garments or something. You are just there. Nothing is happening until they bring you out. Ayo Babalola was put in that place and he sat there listening and participating in that meeting from the vestry. At some point, a corpse was being carried across the church. You see, I don't really blame unbelievers for much of what they do. Because I know when I gave my life to Christ, the masquerade was dancing in the street. When they get to the church, they stop their singing, they remove their caps, they rearrange themselves, walk past the church, then continue their singing. When you go into the house of an herbalist, you can smell evil from afar. You can sense the power of devils from afar. When you come to church, we hear grammar. We hear stories. No presence. No holy fear. Something is wrong with our gospel. Maybe it's not the gospel. Maybe it is the bare gospel. Because God may use a donkey once. God may use a donkey once, but it will only be once. If you want God's hand to be upon your life permanently, please know today that God is no respecter of persons. That there are certain requirements that heaven will require. That there's a way, as a young person in Futa, you can order your life before the Lord, and God will not turn his back from you. God will honor that faith, that hunger, that pursuit with which you are coming to him. There's a way you sit when you are in church. You don't sit slouching. You sit as though there's a word coming and you are as though you are going to grab it. There's a readiness of the mind that a man that God will use, it carries that posture in his spirit. It's not some let's go for another service. No. It's not let's go for another church. No. We brought church with us. We were having an experience in our room, and then when we came to church, we came to the spirit of judgment made perfect. So I came into your experience, you came into my experience, and I came into your experience, and when we come to others, an outbreak of the spirit. And your Babalola was in that place, and they took a dead body, and they walked past the church, and the other pastors, we are too busy discussing whether if you are sick, you can use drugs, or whether you should have to trust God, or die, in case God doesn't show up like the three Igbo boys. So you die a righteous death. Ayo Babalola went out there in front of the church and said, stop the body. Say, what's wrong with him? He said, he just died and going to bury him. He said, take off the clothes. And he said, in the name of Jesus, and he rang his bell. Leave it. He rang his bell. The body, life answered in the body. Then the pastor said, okay, come and join our meeting. Says, tell us how these things are possible. Aya Babalola started teaching from 9 a.m. 10 a.m. he was preaching. 11 a.m. he was preaching. 12 p.m. he was preaching. 2 p.m. he was still there. Around 4 p.m. he said, let us pray. Apart from hunger, one of the things your hunger will do is it will bring you back to God. If your hunger takes you to any other place, that hunger was not from the Lord. God programs his hunger in a man such that until that hunger meets his satisfaction, it doesn't stop. When Jesus saw that woman by the well, Jesus knew that woman was hungry, but he also knew she didn't have a proper definition for hunger. So she was looking for satisfaction in material things. Just like in the church today, we need to, in some way, find satisfaction for people in earthly things. Because that is what they understand. But can I say to you, if you had to sit in a physics class and you passed, then you can understand eternal realities. All you need to do is to be hungry enough and open your spirit. I had Babalola start in that meeting, and that was what began the crusade that led to the revival in Southwest Nigeria. As at the time Aya Babalola died, the Archbishop, I forgot his name, of CMS, in charge of Anglican Church, said Aya Babalola did in 6 weeks what the Anglican Church could not do in 60 years. That's the power of revival. That's an apostolic power. That power that doesn't look at limitation, it breaks them. That power doesn't look at age. If it rests upon you, if it embodies you, you become power. I said to you yesterday, I said everything you saw in Ephesians, where he said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and power, they are trying to mirror a reality in our realm. So there are people that can be embodied, trusted by God with power. There's a spirit of power. Say, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. But the spirit of what? Power. There's a spirit of power. It comes into a space. Anything lesser than it bows. It has no respect for anything that does not revere God. It compels them to bow. But how do you get into this point? Your hunger can only be commensurate to what you are seeking. Your hunger can only be commensurate to God. You are not even seeking for power. You are seeking to be embodied. Hey, see, I hear it. I say you are seeking to be embodied. You are seeking to be embodied. He said, for you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. Oh, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will receive power. The proof that he came is that you will become another man. He said, for as you leave me, Saul, you shall, he said, the power you shall meet prophets and the anointing shall come upon you and you shall be turned into another man. When we came to Jesus, we were redeemed from the curse of the law into another form of bondage. The kingdom of his dear son. So we are the Lord's free man, but we are also the Lord's bond men. So, but we are not just bond men, we are bond men on assignment. God never sends anybody out without corresponding backup. God never sends anybody out without corresponding backup. That's why you notice when you go out on the mission field, you see more power being manifested. Why? Because you are in the agenda of God. The power of God doesn't flow where people are convenient. The power doesn't flow where people are not thirsty for God. Where people are, and I'm not just talking about being embodied with power so you can have square shoulders. I'm talking about when you have a sense of destiny. When you have an apostolic mindset. When you know in your spirit that whether it is in the bank or whether it's in the business world or whether it's in the fashion world, I am the Jesus. I am, when they see me, they shouldn't be asking where God is. There's a level of knowing that God can bring you into. That you just know, that you know, that there is a man sent from God, and his name is Benga. That was the verdict about John's life. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. When I die, if I die. When I die, if I die. Peradventure. Peradventure. That's why we go to prayer. Peradventure. Peradventure, God can save the city of Sodom. That's why we learn to intercede. Peradventure. We are not sure many times what God will do. But I look over this church and I see the Lord bringing a harvest into this church. That if we do not prepare, we will not have people. We will not have systems to contain it. Because God is saying, now is the time. And not just, we are going to have a mixed multitude. Are you hearing me now? We are going to have a mixed multitude. There are going to be couples. Some of them will be in their 40s. Some of them will be in their 50s. And they will just get tired and sick of getting tired. And they say, look, I've had enough. We are not trading church names anymore. We want reality. So some people just pride themselves in their church name. Your hunger is very important. Your hunger must lead you to God. Your hunger must lead you to God. Number three, you cannot take territories for God if you are not ready to engage fully. This is one of the major problems God has. This is one of the major problems even a pastor has. People want to engage at their own convenience. So I can't use you forever. I can't use you to drink garri. You are just there. Lukewarm. Say, God, use me. God say, why? I stated clearly in scriptures, if any man shall cleanse himself from this, if any man, again the same language God used in this scripture, if any man, it's a blank check. You don't blame God for how God uses you. If any man shall cleanse himself from this. So there's a system God has put in place for daily cleansing. Such that we don't come to a place where we become confident in ourselves. We come to a place of daily cleansing. Daily cleansings. Daily cleansings. Hallelujah. Daily cleansings. Not because you have sinned. But we must not allow any root. Any root. People have gone to places to minister that they are left with bitterness. You have to guard your heart. You have to guard your stomach. You have to guard your thoughts. God will not use anybody until he is sure that person is ready to engage fully. A brother was going to get married. And somewhere in the north, and some of you, if I mention his name, those who know a bit of northern church history will appreciate because I grew up there. But the man died at an early age because this is a major man of God. Some of you, I'm probably that who know him. But the wife said, look, I didn't marry a pastor. Pressured the man. The church was in chaos. The woman moved out of the house. So I said to you now, you want to marry me? Is this your real face? Take off the makeup. I need to be sure what I'm buying. I like your swag, but can I see the face? The hair looks good, but can we see what really is under that hair? Most of you ladies will know that most guys can't tell the difference between your wig and when you're actually making something. You know, so you need to help us a bit and take off that thing. Let's be holy before the Lord. Hallelujah. But I said to you, dear sisters, dress up for destiny. God is not angry at you because you are beautiful. It's not your fault that a fine boy married a fine girl and they gave birth to you. So nobody should take it out on you. You don't have a marine spirit. You just need to use that beauty for the Lord. Hallelujah. You need to be fashioned according to the palace style. There's a way, there's something called the palace style. You are fashioned, you dress up for destiny. You know you're on assignment. You don't just show up anyhow. You show up like you know you're on assignment. If you are Condoleezza Rice, you won't dress that way. Are you hearing me now? So you dress up for destiny. Because you know that you know that you know that you are God's last man standing. I don't know about maybe somebody else. Yeah, I know probably there are other people doing God's work. But I can only speak for myself. I don't know. I don't know. You need to be ready to fully engage. You need to be ready to fully engage. Daddy, I don't want to say people should, because you can't talk about warfare without talking about souls. And I don't understand the gospel that people preach, sir, that allows people come to Christ without bringing their journey through the local church. I don't understand it. Sometimes we try to be self-righteous about it. But God's design is, if the seed fell on the way and they became Christians, between the time they were migrated to a proper land, farmland, between that time and when the birds came,
Somebody dropped the ball. What you see in that story is transitions of a believer from the very first day he gave his life to Christ. Then the enemies the person has to deal with. Scripture said, he said, the cares of this world. You know, those are some of the internal struggles that a young believer will need to deal with. The Bible talks about his friends, that those who come around him and they choke him. Those are the battles we have to deal with when you come to the Lord. But if you are a Christian and a disciple and you don't understand these stages, how do you preempt the warfare your newcomer is probably going to go through in the next 3 weeks? So they come into the church, 20 of them, and then in 1 month we've lost them. The back door of the church so open. They're coming from the front door. By the time they have gone through the back door, we don't even know. Why? Because there are cliques in church. People come to church and they come and say, oh, bless you, give me high five. They don't know all those high five. They don't know those bless you. Somebody was in church somewhere in Lagos and they said it was time for the offering. And the pastor said, it's time to cast our seed before the Lord. And the new convert said, sorry, is that the agricultural part of the service? You don't know what seed is. Sometimes we need to tone down on the Christianese. Hey, are you hearing me? I say sometimes we need to tone down. Not everybody knows cast your seed. You need to explain it. From the point when somebody gives his life to Christ, it is warfare. The person comes to Christ today, shows up in church, 3 weeks later, he's not picking your calls. Then you begin to pursue the person. And then you can't reach, you start praying. God, get Kunle for me. A brother was in our church, referred to me by the sister who is also a pastor, and he's HIV positive. Very handsome, light-skinned brothers. And I've heard ladies, including my wife, say she can't marry brothers who are light-skinned. For some reasons. Which they could not back up with scripture. Lord have mercy. Those of you sisters who are victimizing innocent brother simply because they are color, you know, this racism, you know, we need to talk about this thing. My wife says, groom, in fact, my wife says she loved older men. So that, we still talk about it after 10 years, like, so she said, no, I just like older men. I say, you know, I feel pained that I'm not even your first choice. Don't get married and turn your wife to a prayer, this thing. You just come on, say fully engaged. The only way to fully engage is to fully engage. You have to be fully involved and then you learn on the way. That's why you can't take away the place of mentors. You can't take away the place of fathers. You need fathers and you also need mentors. There are two different things. You can't have many fathers, but you can have many mentors. Your father, like Pastor Sheyi, I consider Pastor Sheyi a father. Pastor Sheyi can give me grace. He can release grace. Mentors can open doors. Mentors can open doors. You are preaching on stages and on altars. People are wondering, wow, how did he get there? It's not his mentors. It's my boy. He's very good. Because if I misbehave, they know who to call. So if you don't have a spirit of service, at what point does Pastor Sheyi find you worthy to begin to engage from this pulpit? If I came to this church feeling like I'm as anointed as Pastor Sheyi, you know, he was talking about rags yesterday. It's not a contest. It's not a popularity contest of who is more anointed. But if that thing even ever flows into your mind, like, my pastor is not even anointed, I can manage money. Sir, you'll be shocked what people think about. I don't overrate myself, even before my church members. So I tell them, if you are seeing something that is wrong, come to me. And sometimes they come and say, Pastor Su, Kinti Yalei. And I take it off. Just make sure your shirt is good. And if you are the Alpha and Omega of your house, for all of you planning to get married, young brothers, and you think your doctrine of husbandhood is to be a lion, I had an argument with my wife about 3 weeks ago, and she said, you need to change your wardrobe. I said, it doesn't determine if I'm called or not. She said, "You are not representing you alone." I said, "I like the feel of that." I said, "But I won't take 100,000 and just go buy clothes." She said, "You are not representing you alone." She repeated it. I said, "So who else am I representing?" "Say, you are representing the people of God." "Say, you are representing me." Everything I have won in this conference was selected by her. Everything. "This is the one you are going to wear." So this way. She just said, "Shan, I'm watching you live." "Hello." "You see, they are seeing me right now. You know, I just greet you from here." You know. Except you don't want too much salt in your food. You just align. And you see how to forgive. Except you don't want to make heaven. That being a Christian is a big problem, but because you have to forgive. Ma binu. Say no. You did it every day. Ma binu. You want to man tell tomorrow? Do ma money come out? Close man. Amen. It's good when you marry your friend. You know, because when you fight, you have energy for other useful things. Number four. People like gist. When God calls you to enter into the strong man's house, what he's saying to you is, you are entering enemy territory. Don't expect that you get to where God is sending you to and they will be smiling at you and trying to welcome you. You are coming into enemy territory. Number five. It is not enough to have information on your calling or your assignment. You must have information about your enemy. Have you seen, Daddy was talking about the officer and the gentleman. Was it yesterday or so? Or today? Today, sir. And one thing if you've watched some of these war films, is that they always have this spreadsheet. They look at the whole territory, where the whole thing is taken off. We are going to come in. And one of the powerful things they do in the military that I've seen is that they create decoys. Maybe you know, sir. They'll create decoys. They'll bring some of their major guys, put them in for you, say, Pastor Shehi is there, Pastor Bello is there, oh, Pastor Elijah is there. So he said, this is their main army. They don't have people. But Pastor puts Ogi, puts Dele, and said, "Benga, join them." And we are coming from another tangent. All of a sudden, we keep the enemy in the middle. Before they turn and re-strategize, heads are rolling. It's not enough to have your anointing and everything. You must be spiritually smart to predict your enemy's move 10 steps ahead. Number six. You must understand that God will never send you to territories except he equips you. God will equip you. For instance, you look at someone like Rena Bonke. If you attend his crusade, you may never see Rena Bonke say, "Daddy says there's somebody here." He preaches a very nice message. You could sleep on it. And I don't even know that some of these ministers use, your sleep is usually very sound when you hear them. But when he begins to pray, I could swear that prayer will not raise one cripple. But he says a simple prayer, and all around the place you are hearing noise. Like, what? 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 Now, before you say anything, you need to examine what is being done. Somebody was in the meeting of Pastor Kumuyi years ago, said he didn't believe that all these things he was doing was real. So he came in deliberately to see for himself and confirm to himself that he was right. So Pastor Kumi preached, and you know he preaches just 3 points. I'm a product of many streams, so sincerely, getting born again in the north, if I give you a list of all the churches I've been to, and I was just passing through, and I labored, I only didn't labor in two, Trem and New Covenant Church, Pastor Paul, you know, New Covenant, yeah. Because the pastor kept looking at me. I sensed the hand of God is upon you. I said, "No, sir." "Sir, I sense the hand of God is upon you." I said, "No, sir." "Say, you can teach." I said, "No, sir." He said, "Come and lead prayer." I said, "Sir, I don't know how to pray." Because that would be my undoing. The man, I said, "Lift up your way." "He has no sufferable." He said, "Musobe. Take Bible study." Then he tells you are not in the Bible study team.
So I just hid my face, and same thing when I was in Shem. But you see, if I knew that what I'm doing now is what I will still do, I would have answered this call 10 years ago. I'm being honest with you. Leave it. You are equipped for territories. Whether you see yourself as capable or not is another thing. Bible says, He has made us able ministers. He made us able. He gave us capacity for it. He called us and gave us capacity for it. He gave you capacity for it. God didn't look at the shape of your head when He called you, but He loved you and gave you capacity for it. Because it's out of the mouth of babes and sucklings that God ordains strength. Number 7. When you get to enemy territory, you must be ready to engage the strong man. Because many times Satan will not fight power with power, he will fight power with deception. The devil will come to you and begin to use your area of weakness to begin to come against you. He will begin to tell you are not holy enough. He will begin to tell you are not perfect enough. He will begin to tell you that you are not even called. You will wake up sometime in the morning, you will not even feel born again. Some of you wake up 3 days and remember you've not even prayed. And you didn't even feel guilty. So we are not playing here. The devil is going to come against you. After Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal, Jezebel came and she didn't come with a sword. She came with all chances. And a man who could bring down 400 prophets or 450? 450 prophets fled from the warfare of one woman who had not shown up. She was just talking. When I see you, people will pity you. Where is my chariot? All of a sudden, say, man of God, wisdom is possible. Teba Baja, and you win her, they'll say you're a military minister. If she wins you, they'll say so, hotel. All this your noise, fire. You see your life. So the best option for the man of God was to. So don't expect the devil come to negotiate. You must be willing and be ready, because he may come against you by reminding you of your past. He will come against you. He won't let you come in. Now, when you look at that scripture, give me that verse 27 again. Number 8. Verse 27. Number 8 point. I hope you are getting these things down. Hallelujah. Is he helping anybody? Your mission in this scripture, please give me verse 27, the previous verse. Your mission in this verse is threefold. Number 1, you are to stop the strong man. To stop him means you have to gain entrance. To gain entrance means you must receive clear instructions on how to go about it. Father, should I engage? Should I proceed? Will I overtake? Will I recover all? And God says, proceed. Assumption has aborted many destinies more than even fear itself. People assume a lot. That's why the Bible says, when we prophesy, let others judge. Because it is in our union as a body that our prophecy can be authenticated. Your first assignment in this scripture is to enter that house and stop the man. Number 2 is to bind him. Number 3, restrict him permanently. Sorry, what I said now is under binding. You stop him, bind him, and please, I hope you know there will be confrontation. There will be confrontation. I don't know how you feel as a pastor. Anytime a church member comes to you and you feel helpless about the person's situation, it's not a good place to be. You just feel like, I wish I could do something. Sometimes, it could just be some little amount of money and you will not have the funds. Or it could be a healing or a
I'm saying this and I'm remembering so many things because they are very touchy. I don't understand. You get into a meeting and you lift your hands and say, Father, heal everybody who is sick here. And somebody is listening to the prayers over the phone, because in my church, when we pray, we put our phones close to the speaker. People who are here, call them, put the phone on the speaker, want to pray for healing. And somebody is at the other end and gets healed of cancer. And then I'm here now with somebody with migraine. And I'm saying, in Jesus' name, in Jesus. And I'm saying, God, what happened to the other anointing of that day? So I realize that I'm just a man. And he is God. And I'm fine. I don't feel sad anymore. If I pray for you, I don't get healed. The Bible says, you must bind the strong man. The second thing you must do is you must spoil his goods. To spoil the goods there, I'm speaking about souls. Take ownership of everything in that space. Don't allow any soul to escape. I am amazed when I see people talk about souls and they talk about it casually. Please, if God ever calls you tomorrow into the ministry, please know we are only in business for one thing, souls. Whether you are perfecting them, whether you are building them, the pastor has a very powerful and painful work. Because you could work on somebody, care for them, and they walk out. And you still have to continue working. Some leave and never say goodbye. They just walk away from you. Sometimes you do this ministry to the detriment of your own marriage. One day my wife said to me, she said she needs to see me for counseling. And I said, I don't do counseling at home. We don't talk church in my house. There's no pastor here. It's just me and you. So I don't do... Say no, I'm actually feeling neglected. And I just feel the best thing is to talk to my pastor. I recommend that to any lady here. It will work. It will just change. Said I feel like my husband, he cares, but he's not available. Like I don't know. What would you say? I say... I said, and you know it's not true. Say, when was the last time we had a conversation? I said, but it's God's work. And even you said, we are doing the work together. She said, well, okay, so I'm an afterthought. I said, no. I said, okay. I just called my pastor. Hey, bro, Alpha, where you did? Okay, I preach on Sunday. I said, I'm going to watch film tonight after service. Went to the island. Went to see a film. I said, so you select the film. Select film. So hey, I just laughed. In front of the camera. Just laughing. I said, nice scene. And everybody was happy. You just it all. You have to be wise, though. If not, the devil will bring problems to your territory. And you will think you are defending God. The devil is tearing your home apart. I can tell you things that, because I wish I could tell you your warfare is in the spirit realm like that. They'll bring it here. They will bring it here. If they ever told Job, his wife will say what she said. He will not admire her. The enemy within is supposed to be my prayer partner. I was sharing a story. I don't know whether it was daddy or I don't know what I was telling recently. We had a program in church for couples. Wanted to just bless them. Breakfast and all of that. Did I say this story somewhere? I told my wife we're going to pray. She said, oh, she's going to wake up to pray at night. I woke up at my normal prayer time to pray. Then my wife, I noticed because the moon casts the shadow in my room, so we can see each other even though it's dark. Just pray. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. My wife will get up, look at me, then go back to bed. So in my mind, like, okay, maybe that's our style of praying tonight. Then woke up morning and I said, you say you are going to pray? Say, yes. Say, but when I saw the way you are praying, I just need to settle, so I slept. I just knew God had done it. So I slept. Like, no. I came to church and said, like, no, when pastor was praying, I just knew this meeting was settled. I know you are all going to be blessed today. Hallelujah. And I said, okay. Okay. When you get into the enemy territory, You must have an eye for quality. There are souls and there are choice souls. When Andrew brought Peter to the Lord, he didn't know how Peter would matter in the scheme of things. He didn't know. He thought he was coming to introduce something to Peter that may tickle his fancy. But Jesus found the person he will hand over to. When you bring someone to church, salvation process is not only when you lead them to Christ. Sometimes they just need to come. That's how Charles got in here now. He didn't come to be saved. He came for some other things. Then he sat, listened to Pastor Shea. Okay. Then came with questions. He has told me that story over and over again. I'm not sure he realized he has been telling me that story over and over again. You know, he's in Lagos, but he's still a part of the house. You see, words that affect the heart don't come from the head. It's not gymnastics. They come from the spirit. He came for something entirely different but found God. That's what God can do. So, and he could have decided to run away. Because some of you, we try to keep you free yourself. It is not enough to be the code waiting to be ridden by Jesus. You must allow yourself to remain tied till he comes. God use me. God say you are not ready. You must spoil the goods. You must take the souls. You must free them. You must declare the kingdom of God in that space. When they said to us in our office, nobody is allowed to pray. This is not a church. This is not religious. We are here for business. We're making money. So keep the prayer out. When things started going bad, it was my manager that said, I think we need to pray. So let's pray. I believe we are all serving God. There's no... We need to make profit this year. And there's nothing God cannot do. My boss drinks Gouda. But oh no, Joe Gunto Makwe. Wa sumo long. Wa goi okay. They never open your file. When they open your file, you don't pray like an educated person. You pray like a lunatic. There are professors in MFM, in Onike. You didn't ask why. Leave it. After you have all the degrees like thermometer, and some things are yet unexplainable, then you go to church and you hear one pastor that is never on the flyer. Say every power sent to swallow your life be wasted, and you just say aha. If this sound I just made now, if you are, you won't know it except you have been there. Aha. You are getting it. When you get into enemy territory, take the spoils. There are people, there are souls, daddy, there are souls in Futa between this junction and that gate that are supposed to be here. And as a result of this meeting, we open the atmosphere over them. There are anointings that control spiritual atmosphere. The servant of God prayed and said to his prophet, go and check. What do you see? He prayed until he saw a hand. He said, that's okay for me. That's okay. Tell the king to run. Once he saw the hand, the symbol of the move and the spirit of God, he said, tell the king now, we better start running. The Bible says, and the prophet outran. There are dimensions that control atmospheres. Number three, take the house. Don't just take the spoil. Take the house. Put systems in place to keep the devil out permanently. Whether it's in your life, whether it's in a new area, you just won a lot of souls, and you are trying to keep them in the faith. Put a cell there. Everywhere there's a cell or a small church or a garden of two or three, God commits his presence to securing that space. It's scripture. He said, where two or three of you are gathered, I will not send an angel, I will come. That's what he said. So why do you feel God is not there? Simply because you are just two people in the house and you are trying to say prayers. The moment you are at least two, it is not just angels, he will come. So when you carry that knowledge into the place of prayer, and walk. I remember when we went for that crusade in Shimeri, and I prayed, and I was about to preach, and I said, in the name of Jesus, and those spirits shut down the power supply. And we were in total darkness. Then this is a good time to test your anointing. Because these demons don't speak English. They didn't go to school. You did. Then you learn how to raise prophetic songs. Let God arise and his enemies be... It's a war cry. It's a war cry. It is a war cry. The Bible calls him the Lord of the angel armies.
Just leave that one.
The Lord of the angel armies. When you declare that cry, oh, we had the harvest of souls that day. Hallelujah. You don't just take the spoil. Put systems in place. The thing with systems is, if we don't have people, because daddy, you can't be the one manning that space. It has to be an Ogi. It has to be somebody in the media team who sees his job beyond the media. And I say, look, Tunde, this is Mike. Just gave his life to Christ. Train him, keep him safe, bring him to church. Have a nice day. And daddy will go to bed. Because when I say territories, I want you to think souls. Huh? That's my context. So when daddy says, take care of Mike, daddy should not be the one coming to follow up on two of them later. That's what I'm saying. Because the problem is that we have a bunch of people who think they are ready, but don't even understand the fundamentals. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. First Thessalonians chapter 1. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. That means it came in word. The word must precede power. The word must precede power. The word must precede power. His word must precede power. His own word must precede power. We hear the word, but we don't see power. Because it's not his word. We had our own thing to eat. His word must precede power. Say, not in word only, but in power. And in the Holy Ghost. And in much, I shall see all the dimensions where the word came. It came in power. It came in the Holy Ghost. It came in assurance. Because what some people need is not healing, it's assurance. People are wounded. People left church, left their house, came to church and got more hurt. So they need assurance. They need assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were amongst you. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 11. We'll just run through that one very quickly. I hope somebody is getting something. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. Please go back there. What multiplies grace? What multiplies grace and peace? The knowledge of God the Father and of the Lord Jesus. So when I pray and ask God, give me grace to follow. Oh, those are our songs. You can't sing those songs and lost. We don't need keyboards for them. There's a way we sing them. We have an attitude. Abundant grace to follow. Give me grace to... That's praise worship. Your grace is enough for... And I was saying by real... You know, I got born again where people are dying in Bauchi State. So it was like you are getting born again to die. So you got to be ready all times. We didn't have time for who is CNS, who is Pentecostal. You could be there. Let's just unite. Let's just have fun. We are one family. It's okay. No problem. Okay, you are aware. Which faction is your own? We are one in Christ. Because we could be dead. No room for formalities. We want to make heaven. We give me grace to follow. When you begin to sing that song, what God is answering is, you need knowledge. That's God's answer to your prayer. A lady came to our church a few years ago, and she's one of our most committed leaders right now. And she said, I saw her for the first time after we shared the grace, and then let me begin to round up. My first, finally. So, if you're a real man of God, you should say finally 7 times. Let me tell you something. Now, I know some of you here are called. Let me digress. When you begin to preach, when God begins to take you to places to preach, no matter how small, don't leave a sour taste in the mouth of people. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will understand when I get there. When you get there. Where was I? So the lady came, and I saw her from afar. And I said, come, what's your name? And she told me her name. I said, as I looked at you, I heard the Lord say to me, teach her scriptures. She said, I'm Catholic. I said, I'm Catholic too. Just that we don't do mass, but I'm Catholic. See, let me tell you, where these souls are, if you are not flexible, you can't get them. Don't go there with your religious heart. Nobody needs it. You have to learn how to morph to get certain people. I said, I'm Catholic too. You say, oh really, which parish were you? There's one, I just mentioned one in Isolo. Because I used to live in Isolo, and there was one St. Mary's. So I just mentioned St. Mary's. Oh, hey, but you're a pastor now. I say, you the same work. She said she would think about it. I said, so give me a call. Meet me for the first time. Then she sent me a message. Say, Pastor, I'm ready. Then I asked her, why? She said, I got home and I remembered. Last year, October, I had a dream. And in that dream, I came into the house and I saw the Lord Jesus and he was painting. The moment I saw him in my dream, you know, she brought in that Catholic mindset to the dream. So she knelt beside the Lord and said, I need your grace. I cannot move by myself. I need your grace. See, and the Lord Jesus will not answer her. Then she cried again and held him and said, Lord, I need your grace. I know I may never see you like this again. I need your grace. And then the Lord said to her, you don't need my grace. You need knowledge. She had never read scriptures. The Lord said, I will send someone to teach you. That's October last year, and this March. Look at the time it took God to arrange one man. Don't give up on God, though. It can take 6 months sometimes. So when I saw her, and I said, the Lord said I should teach you scriptures. I didn't know her dream, but she remembered the dream. It was in that conversation, I said, come with your Catholic Bible. So it was a Catholic Bible we were using, because she would probably believe that one. I can use your Bible's Bible. It's what I'm looking for. We'll get you in there anyway. I take that one from you and give you the original one. When my boy, Paul says it, when we led him to Christ, he was wearing rosary and singing rap. So people don't, I look at that, but I just shake my head. I knew him practically unsaved. When I knew him, his mom was telling him, hey, make sure quick join court. I knew him. He's a man of God. He's my friend, Lord. But back then, he was my son. I bought him his own Bible. So as he's winning souls, I don't know. I can't number my name. I credit him, you know. I just share any. It's network marketing. Oh, I'm not joking. That's true. But he said to me, he was wearing his rosary. Say, sir, can I still be wearing my rosary? I said, wear it. Why not? It's just a necklace now. He said, yes. Yeah, then those songs I used to sing. I should be adding Jesus. Like small, so it won't be looking like his bad song. You know, some of these are secular songs way back. I'll try and remember one of them now. You know. It's amazing that I asked my church member, I listen to radio. So when I say any new dance step, I know where the spirit is coming from. I quickly shut it down. Don't bring any satanic spirit into this church. And call it freedom in Christ. Well, shout God. There's a reason why God called people like us. Because we are on the street. So I called him. I said, he said, can I be singing my old song? I said, why not? He said, you shall see power after. When the Holy Ghost comes, it will rearrange some things. I brought him to church and the pastor was preaching, Brother Taiwo. He said, sorry, I don't understand what you are saying. Are you saying that if I have faith, you know, that like I can pray by myself and go? He said, yes, brother. And people were laughing at him. I see this under level student. On that campus, Paul preached to all of them. What I'm talking to you about is that when God gives you one soul, you can train that soul in a way you cannot backslide again. Even if he falls back, his capacity, he bounces back. That kind of work I'm talking about. Not right after 20 years, you say, they say he's no more in the faith. You take the spoils, you cage the strong man, you take the spoils, and you secure the space. Put the flag of the Lord there. This is now kingdom territory. This life, this family is now kingdom territory. When I became a Christian, the people who fought me were my parents. I heard the gospel first from my dad, but I had to repreach it to him. Because I realized his information was halfway. I said, Daddy, that you shared with me, I found it now. This is the real thing. And he took a stone and was going to mark my face and said, I read the Bible cover to cover before I married your mom. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Took those stones that look like gravel, the big one, took that, was gone, and I held his hand out of fear. Something just told me, don't let that hand come down. I'm speaking to some of you young people because you are having agitations in your family. Some of the confrontations you are having are coming from your own blood. And you don't know, you can't ask your family to fall down and die. You have to deal with them. You have to live within the same space. And you still need to keep your faith. I learned how to pray in crisis. 3.5 years, my father will not go to hell. That was the only message we knew. And I kept praying. One after the other. My sister going to university. She dropped out of that cult. My brother went in. Out. My dad was the last person. He came out. And when I began to doubt my own faith, my dad had problems in his office. So he took me to some prophet that was revered, Pentecostal prophet. And the man looked into my eyes. I said, this boy has the spirit of a prophet upon him. The Lord says, he can solve your problem. I was just thinking, I was having a conflict in my mind on whether I should even go and enjoy it. Because it began to occur to me that if I continue the way I'm going, God will use me. And if God use me, I will not enjoy my youthful life. So it's better I go back, then come back later. Then if there's vacancy, they can take me. How many of you know that kind of struggle? Because if I tell you territory and I don't tell you, you are the territory we are trying to secure. So you are going out looking for some imaginary land. You are God's territory. You will now know why opposition can arise the moment you take a decision for souls. Opposition will arise. All of a sudden you start getting broke. I don't speak to you about things I don't know. I'm talking to you about what happened to me. I faced my devils. And I still faced my devils. I fought my beast. The Bible talks about the beast of Ephesus that Paul fought. I began to experiment with homosexuality as a believer. Territories. Because while men slept, the enemy came in. And also cast his own seed. Don't hide your struggles under a facade. Don't cover it up. I'm showing you my own scars now. Take it to internet. Doesn't matter. I'm not gay. I didn't dabble into it as an unbeliever. As a believer, a young believer. I I didn't begin to experiment with the occult as an unbeliever, but as a believer. People are going through stuff, they're not saying nothing. Because they don't even know whether we can handle it. Because the pastor will tell his wife, and tell Pastor Velo, and tell Pastor Ogi, and then everybody looking at him with questionable eyes. They say, let him leave prayers. I say, no, no, mind your only prayers. You know that kind of thing. I want to help your faith today. I don't know if you are hearing me. I feel there's a son of consolation. Somebody in this building that has been battered and messed up and shattered. And yet you love God, but yet your Jacob is still abiding with Israel. The same body. We are going to take that territory back. Every work of darkness, every attempt on the plan of God for your life, today we take it back. Yeah. Everyone that has been written off, today we secure that space again. Yeah. I say we secure that space again. As a body, we raise an altar for intercession over everyone who is struggling, over everyone who is sorrowing, over everyone who is about to give up. We raise intercession as a body and we take that land back. My final roundup. It is possible, give me 2 John verse 8. I just read that verse and I give you, okay, I have 9 points. I can give you 3. See me in Lagos for the other ones. Somebody said in our school of communication, say don't tell them everything you know. So, but that school of communication. That one we are collecting check after we finish talking. Like now, as I finish talking now, you people will stretch your hands to me and pray for me. But when I go to those people, they say, oh, that was powerful. We learned you're doing your postgraduate. I say, yeah. He said, okay. But could you come around again? We want to set up just for young business. I say, yeah, sure, why not? Because it's not just an invitation. So we all come to church and say, God is good. But we are saying God is good for different reasons. There's an alert. There's this joy of the Lord you get when you just get this kind of alert. Just for talking for 45 minutes. I just like 200 times. I say, no, God is just good. He's alert that he's talking. 2 John verse. Now, let's read together. One, two, go. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have worked for, but that we receive a full reward. If God says there's a full reward, that means there can be no reward or partial reward. That means that if there's anything I've worked for, if there's anything I've labored for, I must look to myself. Put myself under authority. Deliberately. I've told you, stop sharing revelations with your fathers. Come with questions. Daddy Ejo, what is the scriptural background for remarriage? My uncle divorced, he wants to remarry. And he's a deacon. My uncle, Mofi, he's a deacon in the church. Oh, he's a muguda. Daddy, clearly see. Before you start preaching heresy, that's how to last. Look to yourself. Because your uncle is doing it, it's in your blood. Very soon, you too, you start taking smell off. let me not go there before I step on toes. He says just 10% alcohol. Look to yourselves. What are the things you should look out for? This is. I preached this message, I think on maybe 5-6 series. This verse, I taught for about 6 hours on this verse in church. Got me offense on me. I don't want anybody I'm pastoring, and I'm standing on that day with you, and we are both ashamed. And then God is asking, but who was your pastor? I don't know why, if I don't see why any sane man would want to be a pastor. I can do business, make my money, pay my tithe. Why would I want to be a pastor? So after everybody has met, I say, okay, all my servants, please come around. Yeah, line up from Nigeria. Yeah. Where are you? Okay, it was lower. okay, Walina. I say, come. I remember something. But you know the one preaching that one say forever, say one time. See, I go background metal, Lori. Are I wish it to be that funny on that day, but it's not. But do you get the picture? You have almost entered. Later, Satan say, "Eh, ele heretic me. Eh, kuku fu miki mamula." Are you getting blessed? Now let me give you 8 things. If I can't finish, I stop. About things you should look when you look to yourself, things to consider. We can lose the things we labor for. Number one, when we despise the disciplines that brought us thus far. We can begin to lose the things we have labored for when we begin to despise. All of a sudden, you have revelations that negate the things that brought you up. Number two, we can lose the things that we have labored for when we begin to despise the calling that was placed over our lives. Maybe something happened in the ministry. Maybe people moved. You are left with a few people. You became discouraged. Or something happened. You are faithful and then somebody died in the family. And you began to despise. If I was a man of God, what did it cost God to come through for me? When you begin to, the devil is putting you on dangerous territory. I think this message is simple enough. Uh-huh. Number three, we can begin to lose the things we labor for when we despise our fathers placed over us. You don't choose your father, so you came to the world and your mom told you that's your father. This attitude of changing fathers, you just change your father like that. I changed my father. You are now my father. And you may not know, but I'm telling you what's going on out there. People change fathers for relevance, change fathers for so many reasons. A particular pastor broke his senior pastor's church. Out of 500, took 450 in the South. So, assuming me and Dele now, I submit to Pastor Shei. Now, Dele is a pastor in our own ministry. So, he is supposed to be my son in the Lord. He now broke the church, took 450. Almost made me a psychiatric patient. Because when the bishop comes to church and sees struggling 50 people, where he say he also followed him? Where Sunday say he went with him too? Where is it? Pastor. So, Dele now wants to punish me for that. I say, okay, I will even come and submit to Pastor Shei too. All of us have the same father now. So Pastor Shei called two of us and said, young man, what you are doing, you will not last. And daddy, but I'm submitting to you now. You guide us. Say, no, you don't need to submit to me. Your pastor is my son. But what you have done, you may not like the consequence. So, say, daddy, papa. Your grace will cover us. Papa. One day the young man was going on the road around Port Harcourt area and he was shot. And he was bedridden instantly. Committed to a wheelchair. When the 450 members saw that the eagle cannot fly again, so they all came back on their knees to me again. Dele has aborted sheep. We are sorry, they were crying. So me, I now got angry. No, I will not take you back. You people broke my heart. Pastor Shei now called me. Ojekba Onkwada. Ojekba Onkwada. Hey, maybe it's not only psychiatric ward you will need next time. You better take them back and move on with your life. That brother is still on wickedness today. The judgment of the Lord. Don't despise your fathers. You are too small. You shouldn't hear your father's error in your mouth. Is this helping anybody? I don't know. I don't know if the anointing can still come down under this atmosphere now, because this one is very hard. We begin to lose the things that we have labored for when we despise our prayer altar. When we have good excuse not to make out time to pray. If, for instance, you live in a place like Lagos and you are very busy, you go out 4 a.m., depending on where you are living, come back 10:30 or even 11. Because 11 in some areas is still day. In Lagos, it's still day. So if you live in some place like Jimu or Songota, and you are working in VI, You understand? Or Lekki, you know, it's like the sun never sets. So you have a good excuse for despising your prayer altar. I was in a bus. That particular day I didn't drive. I just felt like taking a bus. And we were just on the way getting out of the island. And I saw this lady, young lady. Hey, she just tied her scarf. And I started hearing, Mandala Moko Toriba Katata. Hey, I turned around, who is this girl? Ah, Omo. Ah, you were. The conductor could never say, Owena. He just crossed his hand and said, bro, so what you da? Do you know what I understood? That guy said, I am your nibaje. Leko yi, raka patoku makata. Yeke teke teke nebo. Whatever will push a young lady around 8 p.m. in a bus. No, when you are pushed to the wall, you have nowhere to turn. You can't wait to get home. In Koton Bamija, in the bus. I thought I would, the Bible say when we pray, we should I looked at that lady, I didn't have extra money, I wanted to pay for her. Omonie. The conductor was so afraid. Bro, so what's in that? Put his hand over the woman. No crossing. Don't despise. You have to be dangerously stubborn if you want to keep your prayer life. Learn how to pray under your breath. Learn how to pray as you blink. Don't let the devil push you out of town. Learn how to pray. Don't have revelation that says we'll speak the word only. Number six. We begin to lose the things we labor for when we become familiar with spiritual things. Number eight. We begin to lose the things we labor for when we begin to seek for earthly establishments for matters that progress via spiritual travail. I don't know if you understand that. I should repeat. I said we can lose the things we labor for when we begin to seek for earthly establishment for the things that progressed via spiritual travail. You knew how you got here. Oh, you study and I say, no, you need to use wisdom. Bible says wisdom is principality. Yeah, we need to use it. It was the wisdom that told you those things you did before. Huh? The things you did before. Those things. My friend said to me, he said, I learned how to pray because I knew there was a spirit of death over my family. People were dying in their 30s. His name is Apostle Arume. See, I learned how to pray. It was not a matter of if. Pray. He didn't start out to want to be a prayer warrior. It was his... So some of us started haphazardly, but we stumbled into destiny. So keep walking. Don't worry, you are not getting it right. Just keep walking. Let me stop here. Let me just give you one more and stop here. Number eight. We begin to lose the things that we have labored for when we do not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Please rise to your feet. Are you blessed today? Let's give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Now, this lecture, I don't know if I should even call it a message. It's for you to go back and get the message. Not because I want you to hear my voice, but I propose to be deliberate tonight. Because these were some of the conversations I had with myself when I got into school. And we had nobody except our few friends to encourage each other. Every one of us who stood in that time are still standing today serving the Lord. My friend Murak Inyo, Pastor Murak, when he went abroad and his wife was diagnosed with a strange illness. If you see Murak, he can teach you success, teach you leadership, but the guy is dangerous. According to him, when you do run tests abroad, they don't just give you that sheet of paper from the lab that your hospital, they say, malaria, positive, this one, but they write a report on you. The report on his wife I think it was about 50 pages. He says, my wife is sick. Sat beside the doctor. He couldn't allow the wife to hear the doctor. Because if somebody produced 50 reports on your wife, what could be in that thing? By the time the doctor gave the verdict, he knew that he could not leave the matter for the doctors alone. He fasted and prayed for 90 days. Went back for another test. Say, wow, this must be a mistake, you know? This must be a mistake. We can't find this thing. Say, Dr. Morak, what did you do, man? Say, if I tell you what I did, you'll lose your license. I'm not saying you have to do 90 days, but you must have a readiness of mind. I can't lose my wife, oh. Whatever it takes, let me satisfy my conscience that I did my best, not that I was lazy. Many things you want to pray, God say don't pray. Go and talk to so person. Because it's wisdom you need, not prayer. Every one of my friends that I knew way back that followed these same things, they are still shining today. And I know people who carry big revelations up and down. They're in Lagos now looking for a job. And when you talk to them, they say like, it is where, it is where. They've lost their fire. Because they were memorizing grammar. They didn't get the spirit. I declare, Father, in the name of Jesus, over these young ones, their destinies will not be wasted. Lord, you found for yourself a man called David. He was not perfect, but you found him. Lord, find in us men like David here. Lord, I prophesy, that spirit that singles a man out and puts him in the center of God's will, let it locate your children tonight. Lord, I've had my struggles and I still have my struggles. But you have helped me. Lord, let your people find help. From the depth of my heart, I pray for everyone who is thirsty for God, whose desire is to please God only. The way God found Ayo Babalola, the way God found Ihe Adeboye, the way God found Pastor Sheyi, may the Lord find you. May the Lord find you. When the Lord met with Paul, what Paul saw was the light. And he said, I am Jesus, the one that you persecute. The Lord said to Ananias, arise and baptize him. For this one has been chosen. And he will go through many things for my sake. There are a few Pauls in the house. There are a few Davids in the house. Spirit of the living God, find your men tonight. Find your men tonight. Find your men tonight. Paul said, I was not worthy. He said, but he found me and he gave me grace. He said, and I labored more than them all. The spirit of travail, the spirit of supplication, thou power of the Lord, thou power of the Lord, thou spirit of supplication, the spirit of travail, rest upon your people. Rest upon your people. Rest upon your people. That spirit that gives holy hunger. That spirit of service. Arise, O God. Overpower and glory tabernacle. And let your enemies be scattered. I raise a cry in the heavens concerning this church. All the sons and daughters that heaven has assigned to this assembly, wherever they are, whether they are in the clubs, whether they are in the campus, whether they are in the city, whether they are in the city of Lagos, all the sons and daughters that the Lord has given this house, hear the voice of the Lord and begin to come. Begin to come. begin to come. I declare from today, we'll begin to have accommodation problem. The Lord is doing something. Pray in other tongues. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. If I can get two desperate people, let the spirit of prayer rest upon this house. Look at it. The spirit of prayer, look at it. Look at it. Oh my God. Hey. Look at those angels. We receive everything that you have given to us. We receive. You are the Lion of the Lord, the Word of the Father. Forever you remain. So say, the Lion of the Lord, the Word of the Father. Forever you remain. Come on.
For additional information, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at PGC Church, or visit our website www.pgcchurch.org. Thanks.